The supermodel Bella Hadid was recently declared to be the most beautiful person in the world. And she was accorded that title after a scientific formula was applied to her face. It's called the Golden Ratio Formula. Apparently, it dates back to ancient Greece, where philosophers would often speak of what they called the divine proportion in a person's face. And the same ratio was used by Renaissance painters in the Middle Ages when they were trying to paint the most perfect woman. Well, nowadays in our culture, we have computers, and apparently computers were used here, and the size and the shape and the positioning of a number of famous women's faces were fed into the computer. Their eyes, their eyebrows, their cheekbones, nose, mouth, chin, and jawline. And the aim was to get towards perfect symmetry. Apparently, Bella Hadid got a score of 94.57%. Well, I don't know where we would score on that scale. Of course, there are many other ways to calculate beauty. If we were maybe working it out by social media popularity, you might have somebody like Kim Kardashian who comes to the top. But of course, when we're really wanting to know who is beautiful, we don't want that measured by a computer. We don't want it measured by social media popularity, do we? We want to go to the source of all beauty and the standard of all beauty. And that's God, isn't it? There is no beauty in the world apart from God. He is the only fountain, the only source of beauty. If you see beauty in anyone or anything, it's from God. It's His handiwork. It's His creative work. And so we want to come to God this evening and ask, what is a beautiful woman? And while we're at it, what's a beautiful man? Because although the verse we're going to look at does tend to focus on the woman, this isn't just a woman problem. This is regardless of whether we're male or female. We all want to look attractive, be attractive. We spend a lot of time, money, effort, and thought on this. And therefore, we are liable to fall into temptation in this area. And that's why we need to hear words like we find in verse 22. Read that with me. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. It's one of the most graphic, shocking verses maybe in the whole Bible. And it's meant to be. We want to look at it this evening and discover from it what is true beauty. And who has it? It's interesting that if you go further back in this chapter to verse 16, there's a more positive side to this subject. Verse 16 says, a kind-hearted woman gains respect. Now notice what Solomon is saying there. He's looking inside. He's seeing a kind heart. And he's saying this kind-hearted woman gains respect, admiration, appreciation. And then as he goes through contrasts between wise and foolish, he then comes to this verse 22, and he says, but, here's the other side of the story, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. So we want to define beauty, but before we do that, we want to use this verse to define ugliness. And I believe what Solomon is saying to us here is, be repulsed. Be repulsed by the most ugly woman in the world. And again, just switch male-female as we go through this. Let's look, first of all, at the picture here, then at the principle that this picture reveals, and then the practice. How do we apply this in our lives? So let's look at this vivid picture, first of all. If I was to ask the children here, what do you think is like the most disgusting animal in the world? Well, with all due respect to pig farmers, I think probably the pig would be in the top three, wouldn't it? I mean, there may be other ones, but usually the pig is one, two, or three in the most ugly animals in the world. Why is that? Well, it's kind of ugly to look at, isn't it? It makes ugly sounds. It has an ugly smell. And it's even ugly to touch. It's not the kind of thing you would pet or cuddle, is it? And so here you've got, you might say, an ugliness overdose. Solomon is basically attacking our senses with ugliness. And he's saying, I want you to really feel this. I want you to sense the horror of this. How ugly the pig is. But children, I want to tell you a little story about the pig in this verse. There was a pig that got a bit fed up with its image. It didn't want to be the ugliest animal in the world anymore. It was tired of its brand. And so one day, this pig decided to rebrand himself. He didn't want to be repulsive anymore. He wanted to be attractive. And so he decided that he was going to change. And he didn't know how to do it, but one day when he was digging about in the mud and the leftover food that was in his pen, he came across a gold ring. And here he thought was his passport to beauty. And so he picks up the gold ring, and then he takes it home with him. We're not quite sure what happened next, but the next morning he arrives in the pig pen, and he's got a gold ring in his nose. He somehow managed to pierce his nose with a gold ring. And the other pigs, of course, didn't see it. Their noses were down in the mud as usual. But he thought, just wait till people visit the farm. Because it was a family farm, one of these sort of petting farms. And so sure enough, in a few hours, the doors opened and in came the families with their children and they were going around all the other animals, oohing and aahing, and they were waiting for the usual because when they came to the pig pen, usually all that could be heard was the children making sort of vomiting sounds and saying, oh, that's horrible, the smell, the sight, and it's just so disgusting. But this pig thought, he was going to show them today who was really beautiful. So he gets up out of his pen and he walks towards the visitors and he's waiting for all the groans and the gasps to turn into admiration and awe. But there's total silence. Total silence. And then it began. A giggle here, a laugh there. Until eventually, the kids were laughing louder than they ever were before because they saw this pig with this gold ring in its nose. This pig that thought it was going to present itself as beautiful, they saw rightly as just bizarre. This is weird. This is like even uglier than a usual ugly pig. This is the most ludicrous, incongruous sight that you could imagine. What on earth was this pig thinking? That would actually make itself more attractive? Quite the reverse. And so they're making their vomit sounds and their groaning and their disgust clearer than ever before. So we have here this poor pig. What's Solomon teaching us here? What's the principle behind this picture? Well, he's wanting us to feel disgust. He's wanting us to feel repulsed. He's wanting us to feel how bizarre and strange this scene is. It's horrifyingly ugly. It's grotesquely absurd. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout. But notice the punchline. Is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Do you get that? Do you feel that? Solomon, you mean you're looking at this dirty, ugly pig that looks more bizarre than it ever did before, and then you're looking at the most beautiful woman in the world, and you're saying, they're the same? How can that be? Is this an exaggeration? Is this an overstatement? Well, no, it's not. It's inspired scripture. What is he saying to us here? What really is the punchline? He's saying this. External beauty without internal beauty is repulsive to God. External beauty without internal beauty is ugly to God. Now, he's not saying physical beauty is ugly, okay? Don't take that message away from this. He's not at all. As we said earlier, God is a beautiful God, the source of all beauty. He's not decrying beauty. What he's decrying is this incongruous combination, this mix that doesn't match, this external beauty and internal ugliness. He's saying that combination just doesn't work. That's shockingly ugly. This beautiful woman, we're told, shows no discretion. The word means taste. She has no taste. Now, of course, it's not speaking about her taste in food, her taste in fashion. It's the word is actually used for a moral taste, an ability to taste the difference between right and wrong, an ability to discern between good and evil, being able to look at something and being able to figure out, is this wise or is this foolish? It's that kind of taste, that kind of discernment, that kind of moral sense, that kind of spiritual wisdom that's being spoken about here. And we're told here, this woman lacks this. And just as no gold ring can beautify a pig, so no physical beauty can make up for internal ugliness or the internal lack of this moral sense, this spiritual wisdom. That's the principle that Solomon is teaching us here. So how do we put that into practice in our lives? Well, I think first of all, we want to feel the contrast here between God's assessment and the world's assessment. So what's the message of the world about beauty? It's saying physical beauty, external attractiveness, that's everything. That's all that matters. It just doesn't matter the kind of mind, the kind of heart, the kind of character, the kind of personality this person has. All that matters is how you appear. Isn't that the message that comes out of our movies, our social media, all the commercials? Physical beauty is all that matters. In fact, it's almost as if you look at who really makes the headlines and who fills the gossip pages, it's almost as if it's not just saying physical beauty is all that matters, but if you can combine physical beauty with immorality, that's even better. Isn't that what we see? What a contrast. We've got Instagram here. We've got Insta-proverb here. And we do well when we're looking at these images and Instagrams of the glamour of this world. We do well to just keep slapping beside it this Insta-proverb. This graphic, vivid picture. I was thinking as I was preparing this, you know, I'm not an artist. I couldn't draw a pig to save myself. But if there was an artist in the congregation who could draw this pig with a gold ring in its nose, I'd buy it. I'd put it on my mirror. Just remind myself continually, you know, what is really important to God? What's really important to God is in great contrast to the world. It's inner beauty, moral sense, spiritual wisdom, and ability to discern. So we want to feel the contrast, and then we want to confess. We want to feel it, but we don't just want to look at others and say, yeah, that's what they do. No, that's what I do. That's what I've done. This might sound too graphic, but really, this verse invites us to go there and say, Lord, I've been an ugly pig. I've been this pig. I've tried to dress myself up. I've tried to make myself look good. I've tried to cover up inner blemishes and filth with outward cleanliness and beauty. Forgive me for getting my standard of beauty wrong. Beautiful God, give me your beauty in me and help me to keep focused on that. If appearance is our focus, God will be out of focus. So we here see this ugly picture and we're to be revolted by it. We're to stand back from it instinctively, be horrified at it. But we want the positive side as well, don't we? Okay, that's ugliness we shun. But what's beauty to pursue? What's beauty to pursue? Well, let's come back to this verse and see how Solomon completes the picture here, okay? He doesn't complete it, does he? He doesn't actually complete it. He doesn't give us the other side of the story. And this is something that you'll notice in Proverbs frequently. It doesn't give us everything we want. It's so often it's like a provocation. It's to get us thinking. And here he gets us started thinking, and then he says to us, basically, you complete the picture. Okay, so here we have this ugly picture. Now, what does beauty look like? What would be the opposite of that? What would inner beauty really look like? And so he says, you understand what that is. Now work out the rest. What is true beauty? If that's not true beauty, what is true beauty? And the clue, of course, is in the text, as we'll see. But if we lack the picture here, Solomon paints the first one, not the second, what would that second picture look like? How would we draw the opposite here? Again, I'm not very imaginative, but as I've tried to stretch my imagination to think about this, it would be something like this. Okay, so you've got that pig, picks up a gold ring, pierces his nose. What would true beauty look like? Would it look something like this? Would it look something like, I'm thinking of like a big gold ring, and it's got a cross engraved around it continually, lots and lots of crosses. And when you step inside this gold ring, it's internalized. It disappears and becomes part of you. I remember I had a friend, just after I was married, my gold ring was really shiny, and he said to me, Dave, what are you wearing that for? I said, well, I'm just married. I want my ring to be visible and to be seen. And he was a bit macho, you might say. And he said, Dave, I've been married for 5 years. I've never worn a ring. And I said, but surely you want to show that you're married. And he said, Dave, my ring's in here. I get what he's saying. That doesn't keep you as much as a ring in sight. And I think that's what this is inviting us to, isn't it? It's to have an internal ring that is cross-shaped. And the more the cross shapes our hearts, the more we will get this discretion, this wisdom, this insight, this moral sense. It's the key, it's the secret to true wisdom and spiritual maturity. And so that would be the principle. If that's the picture, the principle here is spiritual wisdom is astonishingly beautiful to God. And I think that's just a great message for old people and those of us who are aging. You look at yourself in the mirror and you see the wrinkles, you see the sagging, you see shapelessness, you see ugliness maybe. And yet God here says, actually, as the outer person is getting weaker and uglier, the inner person is getting more and more beautiful. And it takes faith. You can't see that in a mirror, but you can see it in the mirror of Scripture. And so when we come to Scripture, we can be wonderfully encouraged here. Spiritual wisdom is the greatest beauty treatment ever. It's so transformative. It can transform the ugliest person in the world. You think of somebody with the ugliest moral character who's completely immoral or amoral, and they have no insight. Their lives are a mess. It's marked by folly and sin all their life. They have, you might say, destroyed themselves. Well, this verse gives you hope. God can make you inwardly beautiful. He can take away that folly. He can take away that immorality. And he can put in its place insight and wisdom and discernment. It's interesting, if you want to read the story of Abigail, one of the most beautiful Old Testament women, married sadly to, the Bible calls him a fool. And Nabal, the fool, she's described with this exact word in 1 Samuel 25:33. She's described as a woman with discretion. And she was a beautiful combination of external beauty and internal beauty. Her husband had neither. So this principle is we've got to keep it in front of us. Spiritual wisdom, spiritual insight is astonishingly beautiful to God. So putting this into practice, we begin surely by praising our beautiful God. Perfect morality, perfect wisdom, perfect righteousness, perfect holiness. This is beauty to be admired and adored, beauty to spend time in, beauty to enjoy, beauty to elevate us and inspire us. Let's praise our beautiful God. And his beauty is seen nowhere more clearly than in Jesus. Again, that wasn't an external beauty, but it was a spiritual beauty. In fact, you would say his ugliest moment was his most beautiful. You think of him on the cross. Isaiah, prophesying the cross, says he was so marred he didn't even look like a human being anymore. That's the literal translation of that verse. It was monstrous. The suffering was so great he almost looked inhuman. And yet, to the believer looking at that cross, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it so lovely? It's our whole salvation. That's what changes our lives here and for all eternity. So We see that beauty in God. We see that beauty in Jesus. We want to look for that beauty in one another. Ask God to show you that, not to try and get past how people look, what they're wearing, their latest hairdo or whatever, and ask God to show you the spiritual beauty in the members of this church family, to see the discretion, the wisdom, the insight. And if you see it in yourself, praise Him for that as well. He gave you it. You didn't make that up yourself. He's changed you. He's transforming you. And God appreciates it. When He looks at you and He sees your spiritual beauty, He's not interested in the color of our eyes, color of our hair, what clothes we're wearing. That's just not there. But when He sees love in your heart, when He sees faith, when He sees repentance, when He sees you asking for wisdom and acting upon His word in obedience, when He sees you living wisely in this world, He looks down and He says, that is so lovely. That is so beautiful. This is God's standard for beauty. And so we want to pursue this beauty, don't we? We want to desire it. We want to go after it. And this is God's beauty parlor. This is God's beauty shop. This is where God does this beautifying work, His church. And He uses His word. These are His tools. These are His cosmetics. He uses prayer. He uses worship. He uses each one of us here to shape and form one another. His Spirit comes and works through that inside of us. And every time we come to church, every time we pick up our Bibles, every time we go to pray, every time we act in faith, every time a thought goes heavenwards, that's another step towards this spiritual beauty. It might be a small step, but it's a step. And it's a step in the right direction. There's a prayer in Psalm 92, verse 17. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Isn't that a lovely prayer? Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. That's possible, isn't it? That's a prayer. So we're asking for God to give us a sensitivity, a moral taste, a spiritual discernment that we can see people's true character, true reality. That when we're looking at this world, we're not being shaped by the latest news report, the latest movies, the latest fads that are passing and temporary. But we're being shaped and we're being formed by God's beauty shop, God's cosmetic tools that go far deeper than just a cosmetic appearance, giving discretion, giving wisdom. True beauty isn't skin deep, it's soul deep, isn't it? It's soul deep. And I hope as we read this tonight that you will have that desire to praise our beautiful God and to become the most beautiful woman, the most beautiful man, the most beautiful boy, the most beautiful girl in all the world. But here's a shocker. Who wrote this? Solomon. Did he live it? Nope. He didn't, did he? This was good in theory, but he didn't practice it. He ends up with 700 wives and 300, I don't know, concubines, part-time wives, something like that. 1,000 women. So don't take this as a slam on women, because the man who wrote it slammed himself. He knew what was right. And yet he failed. He failed to implement this very verse. He went after pigs with gold rings. Effectively, woman without discretion. You think, How could he possibly do that? It's the madness of sin, isn't it? But he was forgiven. Even though he was such a hypocrite on this issue, even though he was right in theory and wrong in practice, even though he knew what was right and did what was wrong, God still had mercy on him, we believe. And he returned to God. So I believe this gives us great hope. Not just if we're a woman, but if we're a man. And if we've lived like this as a woman or lived like Solomon did as a man, there's hope. There's possibility of forgiveness and change and transformation. I'll just finish with this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, "We all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." It's such a lovely picture to end with, isn't it? He's seeing here, he's seeing himself looking in the mirror of the Word, and in the mirror he sees the Lord, he sees Jesus. And as he sees, as he looks, as he gazes, what's on the mirror comes inside of him. It transforms him. It changes him into the same image of the Lord. That's the great hope of the gospel, isn't it? For every man, woman, boy, and girl, we can all become the most beautiful in the world in God's eyes. Let's pray.